Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice, he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken from the transgressions of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will not allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What I have to tell you is a little embarrassing for me. I can say, though, that it happened a long time ago. I was in seminary, and I happened to be driving in Washington, D.C. Not a good idea from the outset. There was a road that was two lanes, and then the right lane became one with the left lane. The right lane merging into the left. I was busy. It was evening. I had to get home and study. I was neck and neck with a woman in another car, and I thought if I just push the gas a little bit more, I can get ahead of her and merge in front of her. You know how that goes, right? So I put on the gas, and I'm about to get in front of her, and what does she do? She puts on her gas. So we're neck and neck. There comes a moment when you're driving where you have to decide whether you're going to be right and hit the other car or whether it's time to pull back. I had to slam on my brakes and pull back, and she, of course, didn't let me in, So she was in front of me. But I was mad. I had to turn on my headlights anyway because it was getting dark, so I flicked on the brights. She slowed down, way down. 15 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour. Smoke is coming out of my ears. I realize this can't go on, so I flick off my brights, but she doesn't speed up. Meanwhile, I've lost a heck of a lot more time than I would have if I had just been a nice person from the beginning. But never mind that. The road opens up, and at the light, I pull up next to her. I wave. She waves back and then does something not so nice. What is it about us that we need so badly to be first? I didn't even really think when I was neck and neck with her. I just wanted to get in front. What kind of time was that going to save me anyway? It's like this primal urge we have deep down inside to get in front, to be first, to be the fastest, the best, the smartest, the brightest. We want to be better than other people. When you have a child, you have to take them to the pediatrician these days, of course. But along with their vaccinations and general checkup, your child is always measured, compared to other children. You'll hear, "Oh, your son is only in the 34th percentile in height." You'll think, "Oh no!" Meanwhile, the kid is like 6 months old. My friend, Celicia, in Kansas, they told her that her firstborn son, that his muscles weren't developing fast enough. And she came into my office weeping, picturing him as a bowl of jello on the floor. When a toddler is making baby noises, we used to think that was cute. Now we put them in speech therapy. And if a child doesn't talk fast enough, we say maybe they have a learning disability, maybe they're slow. But slow doesn't always mean stupid. We seem to forget that Einstein didn't even speak until he was 4. What is the rush? Why do we always have to be first? Jean Dodd told me before the service that a friend of hers was actually thrown in jail because she got in a shopping cart war about who was first in the line in the grocery store. Can you believe it? We human beings need to compete with one another. It's part of our primal nature. We see it everywhere. It's all over American culture. Make your business better. Earn more money. Get better grades. Look at our presidential candidates on TV. They're killing each other and we're loving it. They're about to break out their fists, right? In today's gospel, we hear about the sons of Zebedee. I've always thought that their dad must have been a powerful guy. How else could you be Zebedee? I always picture he must have been really big. In fact, JD wanted to name one of our boys Zebedee, but I vetoed it because I thought, if he turns out skinny with glasses, it will be terrible. Zebedee must have been a big guy, and I imagine that his sons were boys, that they were used to competing and fighting and wrestling and trying to be number one. But on this particular day, the brothers unite in an effort to put themselves first. They're very sneaky about it. They come up to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, we want you to do whatever we ask." When the rubber hits the road, isn't that what all of us want from God? "Hey, God, I want you to do whatever I ask." But Jesus is too smart for them. He doesn't say, "Okay." He says, "What do you want?" "We want the best seats in heaven. We want to sit at your right hand and at your left. We want you to give us your word that we get in right at the best place, the best view, closest to you." Jesus says, "You don't know what you're talking about." When the disciples hear what the brothers of Zebedee have said, they're mad. Because they don't want James and John to be first, they want to be first. So Jesus has to sit them all down and he says, "It doesn't work that way." And how he explains it is that when you're trying to get to God, the people who are trying so hard to cut in front are going to be last. And the ones who are willing to wait are going to be first. It's funny, though, many Christians, we misunderstand that, and we start getting competitive about who can be the best last. Have you ever gone to a potluck at a church and nobody will go up first to eat the food? "No, you go, no, you go, no, you go." "Well, I helped this lady. Well, I helped that person. Well, I gave up the most." We actually compete on who's the most servant-like. But that's not what Jesus was talking about at all. He was telling us that getting into heaven is not a race. It's a relationship. I've been interviewing potential headmasters for Episcopal High School all weekend. One of them said an amazing thing that I'll never forget. He said, "Scholars have done a lot of studies about grades and self-esteem. You would think that people who get better grades would feel better about themselves, right? I mean, you'd assume so. Any of us that's ever gotten a good grade, when you first get it back, you think, yeah. But it doesn't last, right? Actually, what scholars have discovered is that there is no direct correlation between the grades that a student receives and what that person thinks about themselves. There is no correlation between performance and self-esteem. The better and better you try to do, you would think it would make you feel better and better about yourself. But it doesn't. I have a friend who's a great lawyer. She went to a fabulous law school. She made it to Law Review. She got an amazing job in New York City working for a law firm, and she has been working her tail off trying to make partners. Last year, she found out she was going to make it. And she thought, this is it. I've made it. I've done it. Why do I feel so bad? She went to talk to an old priest. He said, Dora, all of this trying to get great grades, be the best in your class, be on the law journal, get the greatest job, make partner. Isn't all of that just about you trying to be loved? Isn't that really what it's about? Can we ever run fast enough, score high enough, do well enough to earn God's love? Is there any way to do that? I don't think so. I think that getting into heaven has nothing to do with anyone else but you. You and God. And you may bawl yourself out because you're not Mother Teresa or Desmond Tutu, but God doesn't want you to be them. God wants you to find out who you are. God wants you to find out what makes your heart sing. God wants you to give yourself away, not someone else. We spend so much of our lives comparing ourselves to one another. But I don't think God does that. When someone is dying and I sit beside their bedside, they don't think about how other people did when they were dying. All we talk about is, do they want to see his face? Do they know that Jesus is waiting for them? And are they willing to go? To leave everything, to give up everything and go? Maybe heaven is a table in which the Eucharist is celebrated. I believe that. The book of Revelation says that. But I don't think it's the kind of table where there are those little place settings with your name on it, you know? So you go in and you find out where your seat is and you wonder, are you seated close to the host or not? I think that God's table is much more mystical and much larger than that. That our Lord the Almighty has a special place within the heart of God for each and every one of you. A place that has been set from the moment of your baptism. You cannot earn God's love. It's already been given. All you need to do is find your way home. Ever since that driving incident, I've been better on the road. I try to let people in. And I've taken to blessing our teenagers' car keys and reminding them that it's good to try to be Christ-like behind the wheel. That a lot can happen in those few seconds on the road. You can have a chance to let someone in. Amen.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord.
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Almighty God, you changed us forever through the waters of baptism. Help us to live more fully as your children. Living God,
hear our prayer.
You have marked us as Christ's own forever. Help us to live generously and without fear. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who are sick, suffering, or in need. May they experience the peace of your presence at all times and in all places. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who have died, that they may have eternal life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. We remember especially Stacy Cedar. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the ministries of this cathedral that touch the lives of the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, and little children. Give us the strength, courage, and joy to grow these ministries and to serve you here in the city of Jacksonville and throughout the world. Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Living God,
hear our prayer.
Pour yourself into our hearts, O Lord, as you were poured upon us in the waters of baptism. May our prayers flow freely to your heart and be found acceptable in your sight.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done,
and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. That we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're with us today. And it's so wonderful to see all of the bags that you all have brought back full of things for St. Mary's Mission in Springfield. Thank you so much. On the cover of the Cathedral Quarterly that you all received in the mail, did most of you receive it in the mail? Oh, good. Is an article about Leandro Nwese. Leandro was born in Guinea and was imprisoned for 3 years and went through terrible hardship there. Father Perry has been working with him. Leandro, where are you? Can you stand up? There you are. Leandro was made a U.S. citizen on Friday. We welcome you, and we're so glad that you are here with us. Bless you. If you were not able to attend a cottage meeting, we want to invite you this Tuesday to a cottage meeting. You can sit down, Leandro. We're done. We cheered for you. You're going to come up? You want to say something? Father Perry, you might want to come and help us here. Do you want to say something, Leandro? He speaks mostly Spanish and French, so Perry has to translate.
No, nomás estábamos celebrando.
Sí.
Tu cumpleaños nuevo.
Sí, sí, sí. Ah, muchas gracias te doy a ustedes porque he conseguido lo que yo estuve buscando.
He said, I give thanks to you because this is what I've been looking for.
If you were not able to go to a cottage meeting or couldn't go for one reason or another, we're having a big one here at the church in Tolliver Hall this Tuesday night. And if you want to come, the Wednesday morning men's group is cooking, and they're great. They have wonderful cooks. If you want to come, you need to call the church, though, so we can count the numbers of dinners we need to prepare. So RSVP to the church office no later than tomorrow if you can come, and we will have childcare and pizza, so kids are welcome. The blood mobile is parked outside the church right now. If you are physically able to donate blood, I hope you'll do that. The city has great need of that. There is an organ recital. If you love to hear Tim Tuller play, you need to come this coming Friday, 7:30. It's free. Tim is going to be accompanied by Cliff Newton on the trumpet, so it should be quite beautiful. Bring your friends. And next Sunday is the end of our pledge drive. We've focused on baptism for these past weeks, and you've had a lot of running water around. So next Sunday is the last Sunday for running water, and I've heard wonderful stories of the things that you've done with your holy water. That's just amazing. So next Sunday, we'll have a basket here, and as you come up for communion, you can place your pledge card in that basket as an offering to God. If you don't want to do that, you can pledge by mailing it in or go online. But for some people, that liturgical act of putting it in front of the altar has a lot of meaning. And last, but very much not least, we have a birthday girl who is 95. So we're going to have birthday cake after church. Cynthia, can you stand up? Bless you. She says she's a recycled teenager. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have taught us that whoever wishes to become great in the kingdom of heaven must become the servant of all. And in him you have given us an example of love and sacrifice, so that we may live according to your will and by your grace receive the reward of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us out of evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with St. John and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share the bread with one God. Bill. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy. May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and never-failing friend, make you strong in faith and defend you on every side. May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest upon you this day and forever.
Thank you.
world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.